The player across the table from you goes quiet as they look at their hand, count out their mana, and arrange their cards on the table. "How many cards do you have in hand?" they ask. "And how much life is everyone at?" they add. "And does anyone have any blockers who can fly or who have reach?" Then they begin. Tap, add a green, sack, add 2 colorless, activate that, put a +1/+1 counter on each of their creatures. Then repeat that process with the next orc. Tap, sack, activate, +1/+1 counter. They repeat this process several times, their board dwindling, but their air force growing more and more powerful. And then, I'm going to attack each of you for lethal. Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have another lesson from CEDH. CEDH is a metagame within the Commander format that sits at one extreme with highly consistent, highly efficient decks. Not all cards are appropriate in all formats, or even in all metagames, but there are lessons to be learned from how people are brewing with the most powerful cards available. And if you've ever been part of a CEDH brewing session, or done work on a primer, you may have heard players talk about trying to find their best line. This is also the feature of more competitive 60-4 1-versus-1 Magic. If you watched coverage of major events like the Pro Tour or Big Modern or Standard tournaments, you've probably seen the coverage team discuss what lines a player may have in a particular board position. It's not as common parlance in the general Commander format, where the inconsistency of 99-card singleton and wide-open metagame of literally thousands of decks limits players' ability to find lines. But let's start by discussing what a line actually is. A line is a series of game actions you can take which will result in a desirable outcome. These are sometimes game-winning combos, and sometimes just incremental gains on your board state. Let's look at a fairly common line in Commander, which would be considered a strong opening hand. 2 lands, a Soul Ring, an Arcane Signet, Cultivator's Caravan, Azorius Signet, and Land Tax. This hand can go land, tap, Soul Ring, tap, Arcane Signet, tap, then play a land tax. This lets us untap on turn 2 with 4 mana, 1 from our land, 1 from our Arcane Signet, and 2 from Soul Ring, giving us 5 mana on turn 2 after we hit our land drop. This is the opening hand that, at most Commander tables, most of the pod would look at you and say, "Seems pretty good," and then make a mental note to attack you first for getting such a powerful start. In fact, the land tax here is just gravy. We can hit our land drop without needing to depend on the land tax, but it does get us additional cards into hand and guarantee later land drops during the course of the game. So I play the Arcane Signet instead of the Azorius Signet. Assuming we're actually playing an Azorius Commander, it actually fixes our mana just as well, if not better, than the Arcane Signet. Well, here's where we start to get to the fundamentals of a line. A line, being a series of game actions, necessarily involves taking steps which enable later game actions. Our example provides a good first lesson here. Break down the game actions. Play a land, tap the land for 1 mana to cast Soul Ring. Tap the Soul Ring for 2 mana to cast Arcane Signet. Tap the Arcane Signet for 1 white mana, cast Land Tax. The first 2 actions we take are mana positive, meaning we get out of those actions more mana than it cost us to put into them. These mana-positive game actions are at the start of our line because they will necessarily provide us with more mana to complete more game actions later down the line. As we get to the second half of the line, we start to take mana-negative game actions. Arcane Signet, for example, is mana-negative, costing us 2 mana while only giving us back 1 mana that turn. And Land Tax is definitely mana-negative, costing us a white mana and not giving us back any mana that turn. Mana isn't our only resource in Magic, though. And we also have to consider the limited number of cards we have in our hands, as a ramp to nowhere that gives us nothing to do with all that mana isn't necessarily a game-winning strategy. So some lines will enable additional game actions by starting the line with some form of card advantage. This could include a card draw spell, a card like Underworld Breach to access the graveyard as a second hand for us, or a card like Ad Nauseam to put an absurd number of cards into our hands. It could also include cards which are less about card advantage and more about card selection, such as Tutors, which gets us the right tool to pull off the line. These are enablers for the line, game actions which enable you to take more actions later on down the line, mana positive actions, card advantage actions, and card selection actions. Ad Nauseam is so powerful in CDH because while it is extremely mana negative at first glance, 5 mana in, 0 mana out, it actually is often mana positive. This is because many of the cards which enable fast ad-nauseam strategies in CEDH are the same mana-positive rituals and zero-cost mana artifacts which are also going to allow a player to go mana-positive after putting 20-plus cards into their hand off of the back of an ad nauseum. Playing Mox Diamond, pitching a land, Mana Crypt, Chrome Mox, imprinting a do-nothing card for the line, and then a dark ritual means that suddenly that ad nauseum was mana-positive. Then, tutoring for the card you need and... wait a second, we haven't talked about where our line is going yet. It's important to remember that a line also needs to have a goal. What is the end point? What is the destination? What are you hoping to do by the end of your line? The opening hand we just discussed doesn't really have an end point. The best we can assume here is that the goal is to play as much ramp as we can. Let's change that and add an actual goal. A common goal might be to cast our commander as soon as possible. And let's just assume for a moment that our commander is Brago King Eternal, which costs 2, a white, and a blue. So the goal of our line is to get to 2 white blue as soon as possible, so we can start accruing value off of our commander as soon as possible. Our line makes sense here. We will have enough mana on turn 2 to cast Brago and then represent interaction with our turn 2 land drop. Whether we keep an island open to represent something like a Swan Song or other cheap counterspell, or we keep a Plains open to represent something like a Swords to Plowshares. But what if our commander was Espira the Inscrutable instead? Espira is 1 white, white, blue, blue for a 3-6 legendary creature Sphinx with flying, and whenever Espira deals combat damage to a player, name a card. That player reveals their hand. If a card with the chosen name is revealed this way, search your library for a creature card with flying, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle. Remember that Azorius Signet in our hand? Suddenly, that is looking like a much more attractive card to cast than our Arcane Signet, even if it keeps us from being able to drop a turn 1 land tax. Land, Soul Ring, Azorius Signet gives us the 1 white, white, blue, blue we need to cast Espira on turn 2. Our line changes because our goal is different. Going back to our ad nauseam example, we're often going to use our massive card advantage off of Nauz to tutor up our win conditions, usually something like Thoracle Consult, in order to actually win the game, usually backed up by all the counterspells or other forms of interaction which we drew off the back of the ad nauseum. So to summarize, a line is a series of game actions which we take to achieve a particular goal. A line will usually start with enablers, which allow us to take later game actions. These come in the forms of mana advantage, and card selection. And then those enablers will let us take the actions we need to get closer to our actual goal. So, how do we actually find our line? Our goal is often going to be different at different stages of the game. We've talked about the stages of the game before in our episode on Ready, Set, Go, but very briefly, getting ready, our goals are mostly going to be focused on gaining the mana we need to multispell. All set up, we have the mana we need to multispell, and our goal is going to be about incremental gains in our position while also managing threats our opponents are presenting. And finally, going for it, we are trying to present threats that put our opponents on the clock and close the game out. Our example of the opening hand from before fits neatly into the getting ready stage of the game, where our goal is trying to accrue resources. We play multiple mana rocks and then a card advantage engine in the form of land tax. An example that came up in my last game against a Rakdos reanimation deck that landed a turn 2 Shaeldred actually fits very neatly into the all set up stage for my Torbrand Thane of Redfell deck. I wanted to advance my game plan and start chipping away at my opponent's life totals to a position to keep them in line for an alpha strike to knock them out in one or two attacks while keeping Torbrand on the field. And to do that, I had to remove Shaeldred. I had been pretty lucky with a strong opening hand that gave me access to 5 mana on turn 3. And I used it to cast Chandra, Torch of Defiance, minus Chandra to deal 4 points of damage to Shaeldred, and then used my last mana to Lightning Bolt the Praetor off the field. This would set me up for later turns, giving me access to additional cards or mana that I would potentially need. So getting her online was paramount to advancing my game plan, while also providing an answer to the threat my opponent had just played. And the ad-nauseam we discussed a few moments ago is a good example of going for it, presenting the threat of drawing 20-plus cards, going mana positive, and then tutoring up Thassa's Oracle plus Demonic Consultation to close out the game. Being comfortable with identifying which stage of the game you are in, and which stage your opponents are in, often informs what the best goal of your line should be. Begin your lines with enablers, actions that let you take more game actions later on down the line, whether that be through mana positive actions, card advantage, or card selection, to get the tools you need to reach your goal. You generally are going to be going mana negative or card negative when you're coming to the end of your line and approaching your goal. You'll learn your lines in the getting ready stage of the game primarily by goldfishing opening hands with your deck, seeing which hands let you get the starts your deck wants. The more opening hands you goldfish, the more you'll get a sixth sense for when a hand has the action you really want. The lines in the all set up and the going for it stages typically come from playing the deck and learning what it wants through trial and error. Known combos may provide signposts for what your goal should be. Assemble Sanguine Bond plus Exquisite Blood in play and then trigger a loss of life for your opponents to win the game. Cast a Thassa's Oracle, hold priority, and then cast Demonic Consultation to exile your library. Discard a Dakmor Salvage with a Gitrog monster in play, then replace the card draw with a Dredge to take Dakmor Salvage into your hand, mill yourself, and then discard Dakmor Salvage to... Actually, this is a good time for us to address cyclical lines. Infinite combos and other cyclical lines will often involve repeating several steps of a combo over and over. A fairly well-known infinite combo, and a good example of a cyclical line, is Isochron Scepter with Dramatic Reversal imprinted on it. As long as you have the ability to generate at least 3 mana off of your other mana rocks, Dramatic Scepter will allow you to generate an infinite amount of mana. This is no different than other enablers, just exponentially more mana positive. The opening part of the line is to cast Isochron Scepter imprinted with Dramatic Reversal, then activate the mana rocks to generate an unbounded amount of mana. Cyclical lines can then fuel other game actions, but aren't necessarily a game-winning combo unless those cyclical lines are also putting opponents directly on the clock. Dramatic Scepter is a good example because while it provides unbounded mana, your game actions are still bounded by the number of cards you can cast or the mana sinks that you have access to. It's when you pair it with a commander like Thrasios, Triton Hero, that Dramatic Scepter enables you to generate unbounded mana, which you can then use to draw your deck and put all of your lands from your deck into play, a position from which you can generally win the game on the spot. Note that cyclical lines aren't always infinite. Take the example of Thrasios again, this time without access to unbounded amounts of mana. We identified that our goal is to get cards in hand and lands onto the battlefield while holding up interaction to answer our opponents. So, on the last end step before our turn, we sink as much mana as we can into Thrasios to activate his ability multiple times before we untap. We repeat the same game action multiple times because it enabled us to take more game actions on later turns. An observation which sort of brings us full circle. The reason mana ramp and card draw are so important in Commander in general is that they set us up to take more game actions on later turns. It's important not to lose the forest for the trees. It's a perfectly valid line in Commander to play out some ramp, set up a synergy card you'll need for later in the game, and then pass the turn with mana up to interact with your opponents. A line which stretches over multiple turns is still a line. And the key to bringing all of those lines together is knowing your deck's game plan, something which you ultimately learned through trial and error and repeated playtesting. How about you? What are some lines that you've discovered in your decks recently? Any new brews that are doing you proud? Let us know. You can leave us a comment on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mind Podcast. Add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMindMTG, or send us an email, gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mind.